Let these words be yours. Bless. Amen. To me, it is the most fantastic word in the entire Bible. And it's found twice in today's gospel lesson. Do you know what it is? I'll give you a hint. I used it as a whole example in a kid's sermon when this lesson came around 3 years ago. Don't remember? I had a kid even drew a picture of it. It was that important. You give up? Well, ironically, that's the point. The word is until. In the gospel lesson, Jesus uses two down-to-earth, real-life images to describe God. God is like a shepherd searching for one lost sheep. God is like a woman ransacking her house for one missing coin. Just so he assures us that our Father in heaven searches for us until we are found. There's a reason I love this word so much. It's kind of a silly word. I get lost all the time. Lost in the world. Lost in its forces beyond my control. Lost in my sin. Lost without God. I'm a pastor, so I try not to pretend I'm lost. I kind of act like I know where I'm going or what I'm doing, but all it takes is another sleepless night. Lie wide awake at 3 a.m. staring at the ceiling, and I realize how far I am from where God would have me be. Maybe the same thing's true with you. Ever feel lost? Like a little kid that gets separated from his parents at a big department store? Like a geography challenged person without a GPS in a strange city? Like someone trying to choose a new cell phone? Or as Jesus says, maybe you're lost like a little lamb that wandered off. Whether it's accidentally or deliberate, it doesn't really matter. You find yourself all alone as night closes in and you're bleating and it sounds so forlorn. Or maybe you're lost like a coin. Your lostness isn't your own fault. You were misplaced by society, abandoned by love, tossed into some proverbial corner. But the end result, again, is still the same. You're lost. Completely helpless. But not hopeless. For help is on the way. God is on the way. Searching for us, wherever we're lost, to whatever degree we're lost, searching for us until we are found. Until. That's the key. That's the big difference between how God searches and how we usually search. I mean, we know the drill. We see the television newscasts all the time. We can even chart the progress. A hiker gets lost in Mount Hood. A college co-ed goes missing. There's a garbled message from some ship at sea. And immediately, the sirens go out. A search party is formed. Wide areas canvassed. The hunt is on. And at first, hundreds show up to help search the first day. And then by the end of the week, thousands. But then, you know, it becomes 50. And then 20. And then just the family members. Eventually, painfully, the search is called off. We don't want to. It's just human nature. Rescue becomes recovery. The speed is abandoned for just going through the motions. And life goes on for everyone else. That's how we search for the lost. We give it a good effort, but if we don't find any results right away, we eventually give up. But God is different. God does not give up, even when we do. God goes after the lost and keeps searching until the lost are found. Until we are found. That's how God searches. He doesn't get tired. tired or distracted or frustrated with our own lostness. He's not like us. As he tells to the prophet Isaiah, well, my thoughts are not your thoughts, they're my ways or your ways. And here's one of the best examples of that difference. Jesus spells it out to some detractors with two cute little stories. Which one of you, he says, if you're a shepherd, will leave your 99 sheep in the hills in the wilderness and go after the one sheep that's lost? Who among you, ladies, that if you miss a coin, a dime, you're going to turn up the entire house trying to find it? Well, gosh, the answer to that is none of us. I mean, of course, that's kind of in the acceptable loss range. If you have a flock of 100 and just lose one, you can live with that. Finding one dime in your household is not worth all that time and energy and effort. It's just common sense. But God makes the difference, at least when it comes to searching for us. He values us more, in fact, than we value ourselves. And he wants us to know why. You see, usually those people that strive really hard for that kind of searching, that kind of scrutiny, to go after one lost sheep or one coin, they're the poor. The desperate people who search because they need to. They have to. But we're not talking about the poor. We're talking about God here. Lord of the nations, creator of the universe. He's the one who searches until the lost are found. Not because he has to or needs to, but because he wants to. He considers those of us who are lost well worth all his time and effort. In fact, even well worth the death of his own son. As far as he's concerned, anyone, any soul left behind is unacceptable. It's an interesting idea when you think about it. The main requirement for being found by Jesus is to be lost. Fortunately, we all have those qualifications. But when we're lost, he comes out to find us. But in that story of the shepherd, you know what's bound to happen. He leaves the rest in the risk, goes out after the one, finds it, puts it on his shoulders, and comes waltzing back home, only to what? Find out that another sheep had gone astray. He puts that one down and goes out again and again. But that's what God does. He goes out again and again and again. He's rescuing and recovering again and again and again, rejoicing over the found again and again and again. It never gets old for him. Jesus tells us that heaven goes wild over just one sinner who repents. And it's tempting to think we're going to be loved more if we go out there and get lost, isn't it? Parables, they're not about the lost sinners. They're not about the people that can't find their way, whether they're repentant or not. The parables, the stories are all about God. Persistent shepherd, determined woman, God who keeps searching and searching until those who are lost are found. Until. See why I like that word? No matter how lost, how misplaced or displaced we find ourselves, God will continue to search for us until we are back in his hands. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Does that mean I'm saying that everyone gets found? That putting such an emphasis on God's until means that everyone's going to be saved, that no one's behavior, beliefs, or belligerence make any difference. You're going to be thinking, come on, don't some people remain lost? Is just reading this part of scripture. Not if God has anything to do with it. He's searching until. Now I admit, I don't really like that idea. You know, I kind of like the idea that that there's some people that just don't make it, that he doesn't find, and that there's differentiation based on our life. But you know, every time I say that, that only reaffirms my own lostness. An indication that I don't think I'm lost anymore. An indication that maybe I'm only a little lost, or partially lost, or 75% lost. If you think about it, it's still lost. My only hope is to know that I can't find my way, and to trust in the Lord coming and rescuing and saving. One of my favorite religious authors, Brian McLaren, has this book, Generous Orthodoxy, and he uses this kind of clever analogy. He writes, just imagine you're driving down a country road on a journey from New York to Los Angeles. You find yourself at a flashing light somewhere in South Florida. You can turn left, turn right, or go straight ahead. The road to the left heads towards Boca Raton. The road to the right will take you to Naples. The road straight ahead will go right through the Everglades and eventually end at Key West. But none of those roads leads in the direction you want to go towards Los Angeles. So what do you do? Which road do you take? What are you doing in Florida anyway? The fact that you have to choose between these three choices just shows how lost you are, that you're already far off the track, but you have to go somewhere, so what do you do? Well, here's what you do. You admit you're lost, that you've been lost for quite some time, at least 750 miles, and then you whack yourself on the forehead for not realizing this any sooner. And then you make a U-turn, head back north until you connect with Interstate 10, and take that, and that'll take you to L.A. That's the problem. We who are lost should worry about ourselves, not those we don't know. And so those three choices, whether it's universalism, where everybody gets saved, whether it's exclusivism, where only certain parts of Christianity get saved, or inclusivism, where all Christians get saved and a few others that we think might be good, don't go down that road. It doesn't lead you where you want to go. You need to turn around. Metanoia, repent, do a 180, and trust in God's grace. Remember who Jesus told these outrageous little stories to? There were those who were grumbling about the cavalier way he was welcoming sinners, as if they weren't sinners themselves. I don't want to be in their company. My calling is not to figure out who's blessed, not blessed, or unblessed. My calling is to find myself found and blessed so that I might be a blessing to others. And for the record, I think that's why there's a third parable in this set in Luke chapter 15, one that comes right after probably the best, the most famous of all of Jesus' parables, a story about a waiting father, a prodigal son. And there the word until is implied, not stated. And there the word until actually rests on the shoulders of someone else. It's the father who's always waiting, scanning the sidelines, yearning, hoping until his son comes to his senses and decides to return home, waiting until that moment they could restore the relationship and they could all celebrate with everything they got. And maybe sometimes that until, that's in our court. Back in the day, when our neighborhood was populated with little kids, now mostly are off from college, our fathers in this group usually took turns taking kids to various events and movies. And my next door neighbor took the whole bunch of them out to see Finding Nemo. And he didn't know what he was getting into. He thought it was a different kind of movie, I think maybe 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea or something, whatever. And he was really upset that they had to see some dumb cartoon. I wasn't sympathetic. I had to go to both packing Pokemon movies. But midway through the movie, he muttered out loud, loud enough for his daughter to hear. He goes, how much longer can this go on? And his daughter turned to him and whispered very loudly, until the daddy fish finds Little Nemo. Of course. Until. For Nemo, for us. God seeks, searches, finds, saves, until we are found. I pray that you discover how fantastic that word is to you. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life and everlasting.